Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Georgia State Elections Board is requiring that ballots be hand-counted on election night. Board member Janelle King.
Ultimately, the decision is up to us, and I know that we were within our statutes.
The Secret Service today blamed, among others, its own personnel for the near assassination of former President Donald Trump in July. CBS's Reed Cowan.
There will be changes within the operations of the U.S. Secret Service, not only how they work at the federal level, but also things they learn from failures in the communication level between local officials in Butler, Pennsylvania, local police in Butler, Pennsylvania, when that assassination attempt happened.
As the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah intensifies, President Biden says he and his top cabinet officials are not letting up in their efforts to get the warring parties to agree to a ceasefire.
The Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, our whole team is working in the intelligence community to try to get that done. We're going to keep at it till we get it done.
The president spoke at the White House. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about lies, and that's the truth. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The state Supreme Court will decide whether Robert F. Kennedy's name should be removed from the ballot in Wisconsin. Kennedy is now a member of Donald Trump's transition team. He's trying to make it easier for his supporters to vote for Trump. He's been fighting that battle in court here in Wisconsin, where previous judges have told him under state law the only way off the ballot is to die. The case was in the 2nd District Court of Appeals, but the Wisconsin Elections Commission asked the state's high court to rule. Now they've accepted the case. And while the National Teamsters Union declined to endorse a presidential candidate, Wisconsin's did anyway. The National Union represents more than 1.3 million members and has endorsed a Democratic candidate in every presidential election since 2000. The Wisconsin chapter of the Teamsters unanimously voted to endorse Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz. They joined Teamsters unions in Michigan, Nevada, and Pennsylvania, who have done the same. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A new AARP Wisconsin presidential poll again shows the importance of voters age 50 and older. Jeff List, a pollster and partner at Impact Research, says when it comes to issues, immigration matters to Republicans, and abortion and threat to democracy matter to Democrats. Personal economics matter to persuadable voters.
77% of voters over 50 say that Social Security is either extremely or very important to them.
List said Medicare is also an issue, but not as big as other issues. The annual Aspirus Lights of Love fundraiser and tree lighting ceremony will happen in Wisconsin Rapids on November 20th. The Lights of Love trees are displayed throughout the holiday season between Aspirus Riverview Hospital and the Riverview Expressway. You can find out more and purchase Lights of Love to celebrate your loved ones at aspirus.org. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Jordan Love might be ready to play this week. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. It seems all anyone can focus on is the quarterback situation in Green Bay. Jordan Love was hurt in the season opener, but he might be available to play this Sunday. Love said he's feeling better.
He's definitely feeling a lot better. A lot better from when the injury happened in Brazil. So, the whole thing is, like we said before, it's taking it day by day. Trying to see how it feels every day and coming here, keep doing the treatment, keep doing the rehab, and was out there today and just trying to take it day by day and just keep feeling it out. But it's feeling better.
If Love can't go, Malik Willis will get his second start. His former team, the Tennessee Titans, hosts the Packers Sunday at noon. The NL Central champion Milwaukee Brewers lost Thursday 5-1 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers 3 games back of the National League's best record. Same 2 teams tonight in Milwaukee. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Sunny as we push into our last weekend of summer. Highs today will reach the low 80s and soar to the mid 80s tomorrow. Showers and storms move in Saturday night, soaking us at times on Sunday. And as we flip the page to autumn, our temperatures fall to highs in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's a
gut feeling.
Yeah,
inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Tuesdays in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris's stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
First we started out real cool, taking me places.
Have you been worried about paying your bills? Because I have. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Everybody, y'all, we got bills, bills, bills. And there's a reason we might be feeling a little bit tight. And it ain't because of Democrats. It's because of Republican policies. And it is the 3 o'clock hour. And so here on the Maggie Dawn Show, it is time for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. And one of the questions I hear so much from you, the listeners, from other folks out there, from friends of mine, including conservatives, they'll admit Democrats have policies that serve the middle class best, and yet that message doesn't seem to get across. We're going to talk about that today with Democratic pollster Celinda Lake. She's been in the game for a while. She is president of Lake Research Partners, a leading Democratic polling firm. She's one of the Democratic Party's leading political strategists. She was one of the two lead pollsters for Biden's successful campaign in 2020. And she continues to serve as a pollster to the Democratic National Committee. She's worked for the Democratic Attorneys General, the AFL-CIO, the Human Rights Campaign, Planned Parenthood. I could go on and on. Welcome, Celinda. It is truly an honor to have you with us. We've been digging into the powers that be, the billionaire donors, the corporations, and the institutions that wield so much power in our economy and therefore by extension in our politics and policies. But we're capping off this week with the group of people that you know matters the most, and that is middle class and working people in this country. At the end of the day, come November 5th, it is our voice, the middle class voice, the voice of working people that will matter the most and will control the balance of power in this country. So I want to dig in here. We've been told that the key to winning the presidential election this year are middle class and working voters. How true is that here in a state like Wisconsin that is a clear pathway to the White House?
Yeah, well, it is the clear pathway to the White House. And it's so nice to be on with you. And I'm thrilled that you're in constant dialogue with your audience about these really important issues. And they're very frustrating. So it's glad to have someplace with clarity and honesty and that stands up for what we all know to be true. So the working class, middle class vote is essential in Wisconsin. The best path to victory, of course, is the blue strategy, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and then the Omaha extra electoral vote. And in those states, we have a number of ways in which the blue-collar vote is important. First of all, it makes up a majority of the vote. It makes up a particularly high proportion of the undecided vote and the swing vote. the people who aren't too happy with either candidate or any candidates right now or any political party. And these are the people that feel three things. They feel very, very strongly that the economy has been bad for them. There's no victory laps. Price gouging, bills, healthcare costs, all the things that you're talking about. Excuse me, my allergies.
Just take a minute, Selena. Yeah, we've been talking about the price gouging. We've been talking about tax policy. We've been talking about the Trump tax cut for billionaires and millionaires. We've been talking about the fact that the Trump tax cut, while he sold it to working people and middle class as a tax cut for the middle class, for working people, but we got a pittance while billionaires and millionaires made off with the farm in an almost literal sense, especially given the corporatizing of agriculture and the buying up of family farms and the struggle that so many middle-class Wisconsinites feel. I mean, we don't have to be a pollster, though you know the numbers more than anybody else. I always hearken back to that old strategist, James Carville, who said, it's the economy, stupid. And so you're speaking to this reality that people feel like they're getting screwed. And they are. And yet, we struggle as Democrats to get the message across that Democratic policies consistently over the last 25 to 30 years have been trying to serve the middle class more. How do we help refocus? How do we help get this message across to the middle class and working people in a state like Wisconsin?
So the first thing we need to do is be in touch with real people's lived experience. We keep saying to people, inflation is down, inflation is lower. And it's like, what planet are you on? Wages have gone up. Wages have not gone up enough to keep up with rising costs. And people want it to go back to where it was pre-COVID, pre-supply chain issues, and it's not happening. People are also looking for us to take action. They're looking for us to be proactive. We're supposed to be the party of fighting for the people. We're supposed to be the party of labor unions. We're supposed to be the party of taking on greed, things that make no sense. And you have, now we're talking about a minimum tax for billionaires because so many of them are not paying any taxes and they don't go to H&R Block to get their taxes done.
Right.
So it's really important to get these, to get our activity out there that we'll take on action. The French president calls in Kroger. We don't call in Kroger and say, hey, stop price gouging. Everybody in America knows that groceries are going up too much.
Yeah, I think it's speaking directly about things like price gouging. And here, Vice President Harris, candidate Harris, has come out and said, we need stronger federal laws that directly target the sort of price gouging we know is going on. We've had shows about that on this very network. And it still remains a puzzlement to me, Selinda, that voters seem, I don't know, to have bought the snake oil being sold by Donald Trump and Republicans. They continue to, again, against all indications in reality to the contrary, to give Donald Trump higher marks on the economy. Is this just a disconnect between the, frankly, the fact that the economy tends to lag policymaking, and so there's a disconnect between what people are feeling and what's the different policies that are enacted, as well as, frankly, as you pointed out, we need to stop saying things like, well, inflation's been solved, without acknowledging that people still feel this pain.
Well, we need to be more populist in our town. And that's one of the places where I love patriotic millionaires.
Yes.
Because they say the wealthy are not paying. The wealthy corporations, the CEOs are not paying what they owe. They're not paying their fair share. We, the working people and the middle class people, we produce the profits for the CEOs, but they get bonus for laying us off. So that's pretty outrageous. So we need to be more populist. We need to repeat our plan more. We lay out a plan there and we think everybody knows it. No, we lay out a plan and nobody knows it. And until it shows up at people's real lived experiences at people's kitchen tables, they're not going to think that plan is real. It's just political talk. We need to come back and have a written plan with validators and be relentless on implementing that plan. And we need to pick a fight. What people do remember is when we produce something and when we picked a fight. We picked a fight with pharma. We negotiated lower prescription pill prices, and we capped insulin at $35. People know that. They know the fight. They know that pharma is strong, and they know that the price of insulin was way too high and way too arbitrary. And God knows Wisconsinites know it, because you can just go across the border to Canada and get infinitely cheaper drugs.
Yeah, I really think that you've landed on something that's important, and that is getting away from generalities and, frankly, a bit of the academic discussions about the economy. It needs to be specific, and it needs to match up with what people are experiencing every day with some very, very concrete objectives and a plan to get to those objectives. And so when I think about price gouging, for example, we know that price gouging is happening because frankly, the profit margins are increasing at the time when cost of inputs has gone down, and those profits, that profit margin, we're not seeing being reinvested in workers with a wage floor that's rising as fast as their profit margins. So we know the math here, right? So when we talk about something like price gouging, is it possible to get specific? How do Democrats get specific so that people know that they can, frankly, take a Democratic candidate's promise to the bank?
Well, they need to see it in action, and they need to see the results. And one of the things that was really problematic with Build Back Better, I mean, when the first rebuilding was done by Obama and Biden together, they had signs posted everywhere. This project brought to you by the Obama-Biden economic plan. We had none of that with Build Back Better. People had no idea. These jobs were taking a long time to get online, and people thought, when are these jobs going to come up? Because I got to buy milk today.
Right.
I got to buy eggs tomorrow. And people also think, why can't this be made better with the United States? Why do we run out of infant formula? And why can't we fix it? Why can't we? Okay, we got avian flu. Well, go get some more little chickens and get eggs. I mean, people think, and then we decimated the family farms. We've decimated the small business sector. They're really hard pressed to even survive. And Wisconsin has lots of both. And people think, when are we going to do something? What I love about the Harris plan is it's very concrete. $50,000 for small businesses, $26,000 to buy a house. These are things people can measure. I never had anybody in a focus group say, well, gosh, I wish the GDP would be better so my family would do better. They say, I wish the price of eggs would come down so my family would do better.
Well, one of the reasons that the GDP measure is meaningless is because it truly is to a family's budget. The GDP going up may, in fact, be a reflection of CEO pay and corporate profits going back into shareholder pockets, which is not the vast majority of Americans. Folks, my very special guest this half hour is Celinda Lake, president of Lake Research Partners, a leading Democratic polling firm. We are talking about why the importance and the impact, which has been working for working Americans in Democratic policies, and in fact, the Harris platform, isn't resonating in the same way that we would think it would if folks were just voting their economic best interest. We're going to have more with Celinda when we come back. If you've got questions or comments, phone and text lines are open, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pay my bills, can you pay my telephone bills, can you pay my automobiles, then maybe we could chill. I don't think you do, so you and me are through.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. and a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar. Something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear. Everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala. Everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and AgriFab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR. You're listening to locally grown radio WFHR.
Good coconut tree. How are you? I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in the 3 o'clock hour, and so it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Really excited to be joined today by Celinda Lake, president of the Lake Research Partners, a leading Democratic polling firm. And we're talking about the disconnect between both the purpose and the impact of Democratic economic policies, which largely are explicitly designed to work to the benefit of middle class and working class folks in states like Wisconsin, to help shore up small businesses, to help make childcare more affordable, to eliminate and penalize price gouging by grocers. I call it pandemic profiteering. They're like the war profiteers after World Wars One and Two. We made it illegal then. We can do it again. Kamala Harris has proposed things that will help regular working people, like $50,000 grants to help start small business, a $26,000 assistance for people buying their first homes. These are things that will help bridge the gap to raise the tide and thus raise all ships, meaning middle class ships, people. That's what we're talking about. And Celinda knows a little bit about why our messaging continues to struggle. Let's talk a bit about Gen Z swing voters, millennials as well. There seems to be a whole lot of hand-wringing about these folks. People are telling them that they're worried about things that are different from what other demographics of voters are concerned about. But it turns out from your research, Celinda, that Gen Z voters are worried about the same things that the rest of us are.
Yes, and that is particularly true for Gen Z, swing Gen Z voters. So we found that about a third of Gen Z voters were definitely most worried about the war in Gaza and very, very focused on that. But the rest of the 70%, 40% were focused on the economy and rising prices and the inability to afford a home, the inability to pay afford education, much less pay off the debt, the inability to get a rising wage, what kind of side gig or multiple side gigs you have to make it in this economy, the fact that wages aren't going up, the fact that jobs are reducing their benefits, the fact that you can be laid off at any moment. And we found a third of the people, 30%, were worried about all the money we're spending abroad. We need this money here at home. So what I love about polling, Maggie, is conventional wisdom is wrong. You're not wrong. You're right. Conventional wisdom is wrong about 50% of the time. And it's great to have the polling to show it.
Yeah, as an economist, I have always had deep trust, frankly, in good objective data analysis. And the key word there is objective data analysis. It can be revolutionary. I wanted to pass along a question and a comment from Donna in DeForest, texting in from WMDX. She says, we're not looking at the price of eggs as reasonably cheap. And yet we continue to talk about this quite a bit. Mm-hmm. She points to the cost of housing, rent, credit cards, insurance, and medical costs as the things that really have, I'm going to call, a long-term burden on middle-class paychecks, on working people's budgets. And I'll just offer one brief explanation, and then I'd like to turn it back over to you, Celinda. Donna, one of the reasons that I think this gets brought up is that the price of eggs was at one point in time extraordinarily high. And a lot of people look to eggs, frankly, to try to bridge when they're a little short because eggs are such a cheap source of protein. It also gets mentioned a lot because we know that there are only a couple of egg producers in this country. And we know that they artificially suppressed supply, which helped keep prices artificially high for much longer than was necessary. Effectively, they gauged in a price fixing scheme by manipulating supply. So Donna from DeForest, that's in part the answer because it stands as a stark example of corporate pandemic profiteering that should be illegal and that Vice President Harris is proposing a stronger regulatory system to gird against. But again, she's mentioning things that are essential to all of us. I've had credit card debt that was blistering. I've received huge medical bills. It costs a lot for medical insurance, even employer provided. How are Democrats communicating about these now? And how should we be communicating about these sorts of issues going forward, Celinda?
Well, I think, first of all, a great question. And I really loved her feedback. Food costs are the number one thing that people mention when they're thinking about inflation, mm-hmm. because the average woman goes to the grocery store three times a week and you're just mm-hmm. confronted with it. And if the prices of food keep going up, you can't save money for any of those other things. Yeah. And then housing, absolutely out of control. And it's out of control all over the place. Helena, Montana, Omaha, Nebraska. We're not just talking about Manhattan and San Francisco.
Yeah.
And young people will never be able, those Gen Zers, they're convinced they'll never be able to afford a home. And a lot of seniors can't get out of their home because they don't dare try to get something else somewhere else. So it's really a problem. It's so great that you mentioned healthcare because that is the second biggest cost that women raise in particular. Mm. And medical debt is really soaring. People's awareness of it is huge. A huge number of people have it. The average debt is over $10,000.
Oh,
it's not something you can control. You can control if you're going to go to college. You can control if you buy that Lexus car. You can't control medical debt. And as we said in the Michigan Senate race, GoFundMe is not a healthcare system.
No kidding. And it shouldn't be. Here's a couple things about housing prices. What we have seen is the explosion of private equity and hedge funds buying up housing stock by the thousands. I'm not just talking about apartments. I'm talking about single family homes. And once they own significant chunks of the housing stock, effectively they are exerting monopolistic type powers and they can set rents at whatever rates they want. Frankly, these are way above market rents to rent single family homes. It reduces the available supply for those that wish to purchase that might actually have saved enough, puts all of that out of reach. Kamala Harris has a plan for that, and it is to prosecute, to use the power of the FTC and the DOJ to go after those corporate landlords that are engaged in, frankly, illegal price-fixing schemes and rent. Celinda, we've got to leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Good fight, my friend. I appreciate all you do. That was Celinda Lake, president of the Lake Research Partners, a leading Democratic polling firm. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show. We've got Terry Barr coming up next with what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin news after these brief messages.
Forget about the price tag.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The price support that dairymen are seeing in the Class 3 milk price is due to the tightness in the milk supply. The question is how long that's going to last. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. EverEgg Principal Mike North joins us. He says while the Class 3 milk price is favorable today, it's tough to figure out what's going to happen next with milk supply.
For a lot of dairymen, they're looking at this market right now going, okay, well, we kept supply short. Prices returned back to these levels within 18 months. Is this going to be a discussion where we need to, you know, really kind of slow down the dialogue and think about what we want in the end? You know, I think that's going to become problematic, though, as you intermingle in circles like the one you were yesterday with FMMO and the government that wants a cheap food policy.
Mike North is a principal at EverEgg, walking us through the unknowns that make it tough to figure out milk supply's future. Stick around, we'll take a look at our closing markets next.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau is the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward. Our voting members set policy that guides the organization on the local, state, and national level, with the ultimate goal of helping farmers like you and me back home. You can make a difference by becoming a member at WFEF.com.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau. Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit RuralMutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
On the close Thursday from Chicago, grain markets are lower, but milk saw a rally. December corn closed down 7 cents at 405¾. November soybeans closed down 0.75 cents at 10.13¼. December wheat closed down 10¼ cents at 565½. July 2025 new crop wheat also closed down 10¼ cents at 602 a bushel. Currently, the October Class 3 milk contract is trading up 47 cents at 24.07 a hundredweight. The November contract is up 29 cents at 23.12 a hundredweight. Cheese markets are mixed. Barrel cheese closed down a penny and a quarter at 2.61. The 40-pound block cheese closed up 3 cents at 2.27 and a half. And AA butter closed down 3.5 cents at 2.97. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunny as we push into our last weekend of summer. Highs today will reach the low 80s and soar to the mid 80s tomorrow. Showers and storms move in Saturday night, soaking us at times on Sunday. And as we flip the page to autumn, our temperatures fall to highs in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global will be here to talk about gas and energy prices. Send in your questions to Jane Says at civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Ooh.
Sing like a white winged dove, but I do some political talk. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 3:30 on Friday, and that means I'm not even doing the talking. We've got Civic Media's very own Terry Barr for what is good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome back, Terry. It's so nice to have you on this beautiful Friday afternoon.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? I am loving this weather, and I don't know about you, but it could stay like this, through the winter for me.
Yeah, I've got no problem with high 70s. Got no problem with it.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of the theme. We're going to be talking in these two overlooked stories that I found about the season ahead and, of course, Halloween. And I don't know about your neighborhood, but my neighbors are already decorating. And I think they go out for Halloween much more than any other holiday now.
Yeah, I see that across neighborhoods now. It used to be a couple of pumpkins, maybe, out in the front. Now, I mean, people are unloading their pocketbooks at the Home Depot for all the decorations. It's impressive.
Well, here is a kind of fun story. As a kid, I remember going to the Milwaukee Public Museum many, many times with family and with school trips. And, you know, they are doing some recent renovations until they actually move to a new location, which will happen in 2027. But some of these recent renovations, many people were worried about some of the exhibits being taken down and not put up either until they move or not at all. And one of those is the Streets of Old Milwaukee. That is one of my favorites. You feel like you were walking through Milwaukee in the 1900s. It's just so well done. Well, it's not only back after some renovations and better than ever right now, but for all you Halloween lovers, the Streets of Old Milwaukee are going to be decorated with old Halloween props from the 1900s. How perfect! These are often handmade by whatever the homeowner would have around. So it's a great way to sort of see what people used to do when they didn't have a lot of money or an opportunity to buy things, as Maggie mentioned, at a place like Home Depot. So you can see this starting this weekend through November 4th at the Milwaukee Museum. And it sounds like it's going to be so cool, Maggie.
I've been a huge fan and supporter of the Milwaukee Public Museum for a long, long time. Certainly having worked at Milwaukee County, I talked with their executive director frequently. The county's support of the museum in its new home, which I've been driving past where they're finally building for the new museum. Such an important time. And what a cool exhibit. And again, such a great opportunity to see how folks used to decorate for these different events. Mm-hmm. I know I'll go check that out. And I didn't know about it. So thank you very much, Terry, for informing me about a way to celebrate the holiday. Yes, that's amazing.
Yeah, and they say they've never done this at the museum before. This will be a first of Halloween decorations. So I guess we're all a little bit Halloween crazy, so that's okay.
I love it. Good for the museum. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Terry.
Oh, good. Here's the next one, and I'm really, really loving this. There is a Wisconsin author. He is now writing a book about some of the things he loves, which includes the Badger State, old farms, and trying to figure out, especially if they're abandoned, who may have lived there? What's the story? Mm. And autumn. So, Aaron, if you will, let's hear a little bit of Chris Hardy's writing. This is as he reads it to me by him.
I stopped the other day on a country road for a moment or two, a brief respite towards the end of another busy day. I drive by my point of rest every day. It's a barn no longer in use next to an abandoned farmhouse. barn's not that old. The rounded roof appears to be in good shape, and it still has its faded red paint. Next to it is a small silo. There are many of these scenes dotting the countryside. Buildings on smaller family farms no longer needed, where the economics of farming has ended their usefulness. They stand silent and empty, eventually succumbing to the forces of nature. But on this late afternoon, I was beckoned to stop. The hillside behind the barn was a canvas of reds, orange, yellow, brown, and green, illuminated by the sun and framed by a bright blue sky. The setting sun was already casting a shadow on the floor of the valley, and in a few minutes, the scene would be lost. I pulled off the road to capture this moment of pure autumn in Wisconsin.
Again, that is author Chris Hardy. He lives in La Crosse. And as we know, with all the hillsides around La Crosse, it's just gorgeous all the time, but especially at this time of year. So happy autumn to everyone because it starts on Sunday.
How lovely. He's describing that magic hour in the late afternoon. And I think Wisconsin provides some of the most beautiful and bucolic moments, especially in the fall. You know, Terry, I've been lucky to have lived all over this country and abroad for some short periods of time. But every opportunity I have, whether it's the lakeside downtown landscape of Milwaukee or the gorgeous drive in the Kettle Moraine or driving up the Door Peninsula, perusing the Apostle Islands, the areas of Rhinelander, certainly the bluffs that Wisconsin offers, and the beautiful expanse in western Wisconsin along the Mississippi River. I really think the fall time in Wisconsin is one of the most beautiful. And I think it gives us all a moment and an opportunity to reflect on how lucky we are to live in this state, right? And frankly, how much agreement there is amongst Wisconsinites about how important our environment, our natural resources are. Wisconsin has always been a conservation state because we all enjoy the outdoors so very much. A brief story about when I'm late fall camping. I have done it extensively in Wisconsin, but I also had an opportunity to do some late fall camping in Colorado. Now, Colorado opposes a little bit different weather swings in late fall than does Wisconsin. And thank goodness I was prepared. Now, here's where it gets a little interesting, Terry. We had, of course, pitched our tents in an area that had a bit of a windbreak down at a river's bend. And for those that know Colorado, I was in the Poudre Valley. And so in the Poudre Valley, we had our tents pitched. We had our fire going. It was a long day of getting everything set up. And of course, one of the great things about fall and winter camping is you don't have to worry about your ice melting in your coolers because everything stays naturally cold. But it got really, really cold that night. And so as the group of us were all huddled around and we had done a goodly amount of hiking that day, we all unshod, right? We took our hiking boots off and put our feet up to warm ourselves by the fire. And as we passed a bottle of what could have been an adult beverage around while we're regaling ourselves and each other with old tall tales, I noticed a bit of smoke emanating from the bottom of my feet, Terry. I lit my freaking like hiking socks on fire sitting around the campfire. And there I am in my camp chair falling over, swatting the bottom of my feet out as my friends absolutely died laughing at me. Of course, because I've done a little bit of hiking, I had the liner socks on and then my woolies over it. So no harm to the tender bottoms of my feet. But those hiking socks were definitely RIP after that little fall camping evening fire adventure.
Yeah, I bet you never expected that. And you've got so many great stories that I could just listen to you tell your stories every time I get a chance to chat with you.
I love not knowing what you're going to talk about, Terry, because it brings a smile to my face. And it usually triggers some hijinks from my younger days. I will say this, folks, when you got your feet up and your shoes off, don't let your hiking socks on fire. That is a lesson I only needed to learn but once. And Terry, I thought I would do you a favor this weekend and tell you a little bit of what might be good local and overlooked. This one coming out of local Wisconsin, or local Milwaukee, excuse me. It was National Cheeseburger Day this past Wednesday, which everybody loves. Everybody loves a good burger. And there was a Wisconsin cheeseburger that made the list of the nation's best. Kopp's Frozen Custard made Yelp Elite's list of the 20 best places to grab a cheeseburger. Of course, Kopp's known probably as much for their burgers, their cheeseburgers, as they are for its custard. They came and ranked 11th on the list and was the only Wisconsin restaurant that made Yelp's elite list of the best places to grab a cheeseburger in the United States. And interestingly to note, the number one spot is in Hawaii, which I wouldn't have guessed if you would have given me 49 guesses. Hawaii would not have been on my guess of the best place to grab a burger.
Does it have pineapple in it?
That's what I was really curious about that. There's this great joint just over the 16th Street Bridge that has a Hawaiian burger, and it has a slice of grilled pineapple, ham, and Havarti cheese on the hamburger. And I like to put a little Red's hot sauce on that puppy, and that is delicious. What's your favorite burger, Terry?
Oh, I like mine medium rare.
Oh, of course.
But I love it. Yeah. And this whole new idea of the smash burger, where everything's kind of put inside the burger, and it just is, it's almost like when you were a kid and you ate pizza burgers.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So it's kind of fun to like try and make up some new recipes of your own. And that is one thing my husband loves to do. And I would have to say that his burgers are actually one of my favorites.
Oh, well, that's so that. Well, Terry, I'm going to have to impose upon you and your husband sometime to have one of his now Wisconsin Civic Media famous hamburgers. You know, you're of a certain ilk.
That.
Oh, I would love it too. You know, you're of a certain ilk when your mom fried you up some pizza burgers back in the day. That is of a time, Terry. Listen, enjoy this most beautiful weekend. Enjoy the Brewers qualifying for the playoffs, Terry. And thanks
Isn't
so much.
It's wonderful.
It is absolutely fantastic. Thanks so much for sharing again in this 3:30 slot on Fridays. What's good, local, and overlooked here in Wisconsin. Thanks, Terry.
Have a wonderful weekend, everyone, and same to you, Maggie and Aaron, as well.
Folks, when we come back, I'm going to talk about this appeals court ruling tossing Republican Senator Corey Tomchick's defamation lawsuit. You're not going to believe how this one got started or the ridiculousness of his argument. And frankly, this is part of the attack on independent media outlets, not just the one that reported on Corey Tomchick's alleged homophobic slur, but the attacks that can sometimes come the way of little outlets like Civic Media. We got that story coming up for you next in this last segment of the Maggie Dawn Show this week here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Pilot with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Billboard, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance floor to run on.
If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy and I can take you for a ride. That we fell into a rhythm where the music don't stop for life. Glitter in the sky, glitter in my eyes, shining just the way you like. If you're feeling like you need a little bit of company, you met me at the perfect time. You want me, I want you, baby. My sugar boo, I'm levitating. The Milky Way, we're renegading. Yeah, 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 yeah. I got you, moonlight, you're my starlight.
Welcome back, everybody. I need you to listen, and I appreciate when you do. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I hope you all are having a beautiful Friday afternoon. I hope the work day is over, that you've got a refreshing beverage on the way. If you are driving home, be sure that you're driving safely. I anticipate there's going to be a wee bit of traffic. We've had some major closures. 894 shut down here in the Milwaukee area. We got Brewers games. We've got political rallies going on. So, folks, be patient. Put your windows down. Crank the radio up, especially if it is Civic Media. And everybody, unless you're driving, get your cell phones ready, because in the 4 o'clock hour, Dom Salvia, which is coming up next, is going to be giving away some green or gold in our statewide text to win contest. Every hour, and in the 4 o'clock hour today, Dom's going to drop the secret word of the hour. You're going to text that in via the Civic Media app, which you can get for free from your favorite app store. And we'll give away either $100 or some gold jewelry in the 4 o'clock hour. Your text will also register you to win our grand prize, a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. Good luck to you all. But I need to close out this week with another one of those head scratchers. And boy, does this not bode well. A state appellate court has thrown out a Republican state senator's lawsuit accusing an online news outlet of defamation after it reported he was overheard using a homophobic slur against a teenager and another individual testifying at a public hearing. In its 36-page decision,
The District 3 Appeals Court rejected State Senator Corey Tomchak's argument that the Wausau Pilot and Review intentionally and maliciously published stories inaccurately accusing him of using the slur while in the audience at an executive committee of the Marathon County Board in August 2021. The debate at the time was over a resolution, a proposed resolution calling for greater diversity and inclusion in the community. So here's what. First of all, I don't know why it is acceptable for Republicans to continue to reward one another for opposing things like greater inclusion in the community. Huh? Like, forget the dog whistling and the overreactionary histrionics about talking about inclusion. If you're a community, if you're a county board, if you eventually become a state senator, don't you want people to feel included in the community? Or is your message that you only want people who look, think, pray, and believe exactly as you do to be included in the community? And if that's your take, then democracy ain't it. Right? Because that's not what democracy is. Democracies don't distinguish between people based on their gender. They don't distinguish and say you belong and you don't based on race. That's illegal discrimination. So why in God's name would Corey Tomchak take time at the time he wasn't an elected representative, he wasn't an elected state senator, he was a very successful businessman. What was so deeply troubling about a county board resolution supporting inclusion in the community in Marathon County? He took time out of his day to go down there to oppose it. And in the process of doing so, according to three people who heard Tomchak's comment, he used homophobic slurs towards a teenager. I'm guessing the teenager was probably a member of the LGBTQIA plus community. And this is who this rich businessman is going to pick on. And to make matters worse, when called on it by the Wausau Pilot and Review, his response isn't, "My gosh, I'm so sorry. That was stupid," which would have made this a zero news cycle thing. Everybody would have just moved on. No, what he does is sue this online publication, the Wausau Pilot and Review. Why does he do this? Not because the law is on his side, because the Wausau Pilot Review relied on three people who heard what the guy said and reported it. He was a limited public figure because of his leadership as a business owner. So they weren't reporting a knowing falsehood, and they therefore didn't do it maliciously or intentionally to defame or harm Mr. Tomchak. It's called accountability, sir. If you say it and you say it out loud, even while sitting in the audience of a public meeting and someone overhears it, it's fair game to report. Here's what Shireen Seward, founder and editor of the nonprofit news website, had to say of the outcome of the case. Quote, "I am relieved that the court has upheld the fundamental right of journalists to report truthfully on matters of public concern, reaffirming the importance of free and independent press. While this victory is encouraging, the prolonged legal battle has taken a toll on our organization and underscores the need for stronger protections for journalists in Wisconsin. It cost this small little outlet over $200,000 over 3 years to defend itself. Folks, let's call on the state of Wisconsin to enact a law that allows news outlets to collect their attorney's fees when they prevail in these bogus defamation lawsuits, which now seem to be the stock and trade of the Republican Party." That's going to do it for me on this edition of the Maggie Dolan Show. Dom Salvi is up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Happy weekend, y'all.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, the lovable producer Conrad is being vague about his plans on his night off. But I will be joined by the awesomely talented Amanda Nimmer. And Terry Barr swings by on a bar band Friday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.